Hey, you're listening to the Slugger Craft Beverage Podcast, a weekly show with two dudes discussing booze and life and pepper with copious amounts of swearing. I'm John. My co-host Steven and I are just regular beer lovers. We have great palates and plenty of knowledge, but we're not beer snobs. We're not going to fucking talk shit about beer. We're going to just talk about beer. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SluggerP. You can also reach out to us at jk.rtcbrew@gmail.com or sluggardpodcast@gmail.com. Okay, we're about to start a show.
Yes, we are.
Welcome to the Sluggard. I'm John.
I'm Steven.
And we are going to drink some beer.
Thank God.
And we are starting with a pretty big beer.
Yes.
Steven brought us a Great Divide Woodworks Small Batch Barrel Series. I haven't got to the title of the beer yet, and I've already said 20 words.
That's right.
Brown Rye Ale. There's another label on here, or a little tag on here. It says number 3. But anyway, Great Divide out of Colorado, those you don't know. And established in 1984. That's in the label art here. Aged in 10-year rye whiskey barrels for over 13 months. Shit. This Imperial Brown Rye Ale was brewed with copious amounts of malted and flaked rye, accentuating spicy and bready notes. The complex malt bill, paired with spirited characteristics from the aging process, makes for a smooth and full-bodied finish. They suggest you pair this with pistachio and mustard-crusted salmon with arugula and delicata, squash salad, aged Dutch Gouda, peach fritters.
Wow.
That's very specific.
It is. What? I think we should have had a platter of all that out here.
Almost like they have a restaurant. Maybe. That they might serve that at.
Maybe so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe so. Best enjoyed in our Barrel Age series Spiegelau glasses, which I have some Spiegelau glasses, but that's not what we're drinking this out of.
No, pint glasses.
Right. But yeah, this is from Denver, Colorado. If you don't know Great Divide, I'm sure everybody does. We'll actually be doing another Great Divide beer in the coming weeks. I picked one up the other day I thought we might need. I haven't yet even smelled this beer, but that's because I'm still thinking of our conversation from off mic, and I'm distracted.
That was a pretty good conversation.
It was. It was. But go ahead. What are you smelling there, Steven?
Well, you definitely get the rye right up front. I mean, the rye always is the most prevalent. It just causes spicy notes and all that. But after you smell for a minute, I think you really start to get a little bit of chocolatey notes, a little bit of coffee, maybe a little bit of caramel.
I'm getting a little bit of coffee. Gingerbread. I'll go with that. Gingerbread.
Gingerbread. I could be a little confused, too, because I'll be honest with you, I already took a taste. But there's a lot going on in the nose,
yeah.
I believe.
I mean, and this is a rich brown. There's a little bit of light around the edges.
No, there's gingerbread in the smell. I'm getting right. Gingerbread.
I'm not arguing with you.
No, I'm just
calm down there,
reconfirming.
Head-wise, we've got a real thin layer of a head on there. Not a lot to speak of. But I do get a little bit of the gingerbread there. Or ginger, period.
Finally.
Well, this is only my second sniff. I haven't been over there with my nose in a fucking glass the whole time.
Was I getting ahead of myself?
I've been telling people about the beer. I'm over here patting my head for you to talk for the last half hour.
I'm just over here smelling this wonderful beer.
It does. It smells like rye and booze and gingerbread.
I think it has a nice depth to the smell. I think that's very promising for the taste.
I think it has a different. You said you already tasted.
That's how I know it's
promising. He's like, oh, trust me, y'all. It's promising.
This is the suspense that leads to the taste. Yes.
We're going to start tasting before we even start recording.
All right.
It'd be like, it smells a bit hoppy. Shit.
So.
That's the first time you've used the you need to talk signal.
All well, right. I want to take a drink again.
All right, yeah. Go ahead, try it out.
I'm going to drink while you ramble.
Go ahead, try it out. Like I said, I've been to Great Divide. really cool brewery. They make a lot of different beers. Most of them we can actually get. They can and bottle a lot of their offerings. This I've never seen before. I've never even seen anything from this series before.
I know. Where's the first two? This is three.
God only knows.
I want to talk about the taste.
Go ahead.
Wonderful beer. Wonderful. The rye hits you right up front, but it doesn't overpower the rest. It settles down. And then you really hit the chocolate, coffee. I almost feel like the finish is very gingerbread stoutish, like Hardywood.
I get a little bit of that. It's a way lighter mouthfeel.
Yeah.
And this is a brown ale. It should be.
You're right.
And that is the most impressive thing for me right off the initial taste, is that it tastes and feels on your tongue like a brown ale.
Yes.
That has all of this other stuff going on. And it is way more complex than your everyday brown ale.
Oh,
let me say that up front. But it still feels like you're drinking a brown ale.
Which is awesome considering the depth of it.
Yeah, but I'm getting a lot of the rye. It reminds me of that Devil's Backbone rye we drank a week ago.
Yes.
Just in the that alcohol
just
flavor
minus
of it.
Just the fruity citrus.
Yeah, it doesn't have the orange part of it. But it reminds me of that kind of flavor from the rye. And it's wonderful. It complements the actual beer so well.
Yes.
It doesn't taste like something that's been aged that long.
No, it don't.
It's blended really well.
The finish is long, too. It's sticking on my tongue.
I'm getting a little, like, cinnamon flavor as I'm letting it, because I've only had one sip. And I'm just kind of letting it sit. And this is great.
I love this beer.
Oh, yeah.
Where can we get more of this beer?
Where did you buy this beer?
I don't recall right off hand. I don't remember.
How long have you had this beer?
Not that long. Okay. 6-8 months, something like that.
Okay, not that long.
No.
Over a year. Over half a year. But not that long.
No, that's not long for me.
You know how long I had the beer we had tonight?
What?
I bought it this afternoon.
Wow.
I told you, I left my beer at my house. But
surprised you didn't drink it already.
Yeah, I should have drank it on the way here.
Yeah.
I told you, oh, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Tastes like rye.
It tastes like rye.
No, this is a great beer. It just goes back to the fact that Great Divide is making really cool stuff. I mean, it's no secret that Denver and Colorado as a state and a state as a whole is a great beer place to go have an adventure.
Right.
Actually, I believe Great American Beer Fest is about to kick off here soon. Never been. Probably won't ever go. I don't really like crowds.
No. Interferes with my drinking.
We sit in a room alone and drink beer for, you know, fun. So we don't like crowds.
Right.
I have some relatives that went to Great American Beer Fest several times. They've been multiple times. And they actually said every year it's gotten less and less fun. But Denver as a whole, during Great American Beer Fest, is amazing.
Hmm.
And all the all the bars are just trying to one-up each other and draw the crowds in and stuff. And so if you want to go to the actual festival and wait in line forever in a crowded hall and wait for your little bits of beer, great. Go do that. It's crazy to be around that much beer stuff. I'm assuming it's like going to San Diego Comic-Con for comic book nerds.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I like comic books too, but I've never been to a Comic-Con. That's not true either. Our friend James made me go to one with him at Dublin.
Wow.
It was the trailer park of comic book conventions. Sketchy.
Well.
Or I got there so late, the cool shit was gone. But I'm betting not.
I don't think there was cool stuff to start out with.
No. And cool is relative. So if you're a comic book fan, we're not insulting you.
I am.
We're talking a little shit about you. All right, we're talking shit. But, like, I read graphic novels. I like Neil Gaiman's The Sandman. That's a good novel.
I know what you're talking
about. It's really cool. You ought to check it out.
No.
Okay, don't. I like The Watchmen.
Hey, they made a movie on that.
Yes. Did you like the movie?
It's all right.
Well, they made a graphic novel beforehand. You should check it out.
Nah. You know what's weird? Anime.
Magma, like a volcano.
I see it in bookstores. There's like a whole aisle of Japanese, what the crap. And how is this different than anime? Can someone explain that to me?
It's book form of anime. You read it backwards.
Do you? Yeah. Oh, because it's in Japan. Japanese.
And they do everything backwards? What are you getting at?
Well, the toilets go the other way around there, so don't the reading of the books.
Well, I just know the reading of manga goes the other way. Are you serious on that,
or are you just fucking with me?
No, no, I'm dead serious.
Really?
You start at the back
and work your way the front?
Well, what we would call the back, yes, is the front for them.
Why would that be the front for them? It's still the back of the damn book.
I don't know, but I also know there's one called One Punch Man. Who apparently his power is he can beat the shit out of anyone with one punch.
Wow.
So essentially, there is a manga made off of Ronnie from Jersey Shore. And if you don't like Jersey Shore, fuck you.
Then you get out of New Jersey.
Then you can listen to our show. No, I love Jersey Shore. It makes me feel good about myself.
Yes, yes. And if you are listening in from New Jersey, shame on you.
That's right. Move.
Yes.
So, have you ever watched Jersey Shore?
Yes.
Okay, then...
It's a train wreck.
Then, what character of Jersey Shore would you rate this beer?
I don't remember the names of the characters. I remember there's a girl named Snooky.
Snooky?
Snooky. So, I guess I would have to compare it to that one, because that's the only name I can think of.
Okay, I am going to rate this a Vinny. Because he is the only character on the show that seems to, in some ways, have his shit together.
I'm going with Snooky because...
It's complex. It's complex?
The beer is thick, but not overwhelmingly so.
Shit! That's very good. All right, I get that. Now, to be clear... I've seen the whole show, and I know Vinny suffers from depression, but as far as
you have the complete works of Jersey Shore on DVD, you've watched the whole show?
It's on Hulu.
And you devoted time out of your life to watch the complete works of this?
My wife and I put on Jersey Shore while we cook.
I don't even know what to say to that.
We listen to it in the background while we cook.
That's motivation to cook.
It makes me feel good about myself. My life can be total shit, and I'm like, fuck, at least I'm not JWoww.
Do you remember when they made the redneck version of that show, and then like a couple characters died?
One did, yes. One kid died.
They canceled the show.
Yeah, well, they had to. I think that show was called Buck Wild.
Yes, yes. Wasn't that in West Virginia?
Yes, and the only thing I remember from it, because all people were going ape shit over it, and I was like, no, it gives us a bad name. There was a kid celebrating his birthday, and he got to lick apple butter off of girls, or vice versa. I don't remember, but I was a little jealous. Because I'm telling you what, there is a dream out there of just packing some chick's asshole full of apple butter and licking it out.
I don't know about the asshole thing. But again, to each his own, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you like to be peed on.
Just a couple times.
All right, just like only by animals.
I don't know where to go from this.
All right, I think where we need to go is finish this beer and get ready for the next one.
Buy this beer.
Buy this beer. It doesn't matter if you think it's a Snooky or a Vinny.
Oh, this is a Snooky.
This is a good fucking
beer.
Just
remember, not too thick.
Not too thick. All right. Hey, before we get into beer number two, I looked up shit on the 12% Beer Project that we keep talking about.
All right, what'd you find out?
All right, so 12% Beer Project is a distributor, right? And we mentioned it a couple times because we drink a lot of their beer. And they specialize in contract brewing. Now, they distribute breweries that make their own beer. That's no big deal. But, like, take Fat Orange Cat, for example. They are super small at their actual location. So they, through 12% Beer Project, hit contract with the big boys to brew and package. And those big boys are mostly through already the 12% Beer Project. And a couple breweries have actually used this method to like bank the money to make themselves a big facility. They've got a bunch of breweries in this 12% Beer Project kind of umbrella. Decadence there, Omnipollo's there, Evil Twins, Stillwater, Off Color, Local Option, and Abomination, the Slushy Fight beer we had the other day.
Huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a really cool model that kind of helps little guys that still make really fucking good beer get their name out there. They also have an import company for foreign beers, too. So, wow. earlier when we talked about that, we weren't completely full of shit. We kind of understood what we were saying.
But this has to be a relatively new company. I haven't seen this.
I think so. I knew Evil Twins started off doing contract brewing. Right. I don't know if it was under this umbrella. I'm wondering if they didn't follow Evil Twins' model to do this.
Yeah, true.
And so it might be like a different owner or something, but it's in the same company. I don't know how it works. And so a great segue would be for us to drink a 12% Beer Project beer right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not.
No?
No, we are going to have our first cider of the show.
All right.
Yeah, I picked this up just the other day, and I was like, fuck, this sounds really cool. We should use this on the show before my wife drinks it. So this is a Beacon Skiff cider donut hard cider made in New York, 6.9% alcohol by volume. It's sold in a 16-ounce can. Apparently, this company was established in 1911. This is the first I've heard of them.
I've never heard of them at all.
Yeah, but 1911 is the biggest thing on the label, so they want to make sure you know that they're old.
Maybe they like firearms, too. 1911-style firearms.
I don't know. I don't have anything to follow that with. Sorry, I'm too...
You said that's New York, right?
Yeah, so...
One of the biggest makers of 1911 firearms is in Yonkers, New York. Kemper.
Huh, this is in Lafayette. Yeah, I don't know. The label's pretty cool, though.
It is pretty cool.
Like an actual photograph of cider donuts sitting out on a counter that they've just kind of put their logo or their little information
over. I do like a good cider donut.
I do as well. We got a good food truck that comes around with cider donuts.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Like Mama Crockett's.
Mama Crockett's, like that's good shit.
And they also sell cider, but not hard cider.
Yeah, I know. It's what a letdown that food trucks can't sell alcohol yet.
I know.
But yeah, I thought this would be a really cool beer to do. I haven't gone in for a smell yet. Have you?
No, I haven't. Right. I can smell it from here, but I haven't went in.
Oh yeah, and it does have a little brown sugar aroma with the apples.
Well, it says in the ingredients, brown sugar.
You're shitting me.
Yes.
I probably should have read that part.
Second only to fermented apple juice.
Hey, you know what? That sounds like how you make cider. That would taste like a cider donut.
Yes, but where's the donut coming in?
It does smell reminiscent of a cider donut.
It does, actually. It smells good.
But yeah, I'm really enjoying this. It says, we at Beacon Skiff Apple Orchards have committed ourselves to quality and innovation for over 100 years. They are big on that 1911 thing. This tradition of excellence spills over and into 1911 established hard ciders. From tree to can, in quotes, our process is handled in-house to ensure that we provide handcrafted small-batch beverages that we hope would make our great-great-grandfathers proud. From our fifth-generation family to yours, enjoy over 100 years of heritage in every can. They are big on letting you know that they are old as shit.
Well, I did try taste. It is very good, actually. I don't drink a whole lot of ciders. I find a lot of them to be very shallow. But this has a good bit of depth to it. I could definitely eat a cider donut to it.
I agree. This is a wonderful cider. It's a great way to kind of take a lull in the middle of this show, since we had such that big great divide beer to start us off. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to lull in a little bit. This is a really good beer to go to. I kind of regret sharing it, so I'm going to take that back.
Yeah. I wish it was colder while drinking this, though. I feel like, you know, I need a jacket. It need to be on elements.
This is a hoodie cider.
A hoodie cider.
Yes. This is one you can put in your hoodie and sneak into a high school football game.
Maybe so.
Apparently, yes. I am doing that here in a couple weeks. My wife and father-in-law are adamant we are going to go watch the local high school football team play. They're currently undefeated. And so they have already purchased the mini bottles and plastic containered alcohols.
Wow.
To sneak in. They are very excited.
So there's no clanking or anything. It's just plastic.
That's what they say. We should probably continue talking about this beer. I do love this. It is also a crisp gold color, lots of carbonation.
Yeah.
Like we're in non-nucleated glasses and the bubbles are still just rolling up the sides of this thing. Doesn't have a ton of head, but you would expect that with a cider as long as it's not oxidized, and this definitely is not. This is in a can, so it shouldn't be anyway.
Nice sweetness, but not overly sweet, which I appreciate because I don't like a lot of sweetness. Finish is slight dry, I think.
I'll tell you, a lot of New England ciders have a finish like that, I've noticed.
Hmm.
Other than the Woodchuck regular, even it, which is known as a predominantly sweet cider, I think finishes with that crisp end.
Right.
And then the further south you get, it seems like the ciders get sweeter and sweeter.
I wonder if that's just due to traditionally how they make it, or possibly the way that they grow and make it.
I'm not really sure. I think it also has to do with the taste of people in the South.
True. They do like their sugar.
They do.
That's why they have sweet tea with, like, buckets of sugar in there.
Absolutely. We'll have to get our hands on a Blue Toad.
Yes.
Which I know is technically New York, but they're really brewed here in Virginia.
Right.
Not brewed. Made.
Made, yeah.
But do you think this might be the oldest cider works in America?
I would say yes.
But don't you think they would advertise the shit out of that like they did their 100-year anniversary on their label? I do want to try some more of their stuff, though.
Was this the only one that they had?
That's all I could see, anyway. I don't usually go to the cider section at all. No. I just saw cider donuts in giant old-timey writing, like you would see it on a storefront in a Clint Eastwood or John Wayne film.
Yes.
And I was like, cider donut, that sounds cool as shit. This is also a 5 on the sweetness scale. So...
Huh.
As far as ciders go, I guess for this place, that is sweet as shit.
Which is good, because actually, I don't like overly sweet stuff. I don't think this is overly sweet, and I'd be interested in trying their more dry offerings.
I would, too. I enjoy sharing dried ciders. I don't want to just sit around and drink one, because if I'm drinking something that dry, I'd rather have a wine.
Yeah, true.
Because that can be a lot more complex. But I do like sharing it, because no matter who you're sharing it with, you know you're not going to be someone who drinks a lot of dry ciders.
Right.
So it is kind of fun to share those. So we'll have to try to get our hands on another cider. This was a good segment. I would totally recommend this beer.
Oh, yeah. What was the price on this one?
I think it was like $3.99 a can.
That's not bad at all.
Not for this quality.
Yeah.
Usually I wouldn't pay that for a cider, but I might buy this again.
Yeah.
I think my wife probably needs to try this.
It's good.
If you were going to rank this as a type of apple, what type of apple would you rank this at? Or you can go back and use the Jersey Shore method from the previous
video. Let me Google types of apples.
You make cider.
From store-bought apples. I haven't been to the orchard yet.
They have different types in the store.
Honeycrisp.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. Fuck.
Say Gala. That's the next one.
Fiji.
Fiji.
It's a Fiji.
This is not a Fiji.
Fuck you. It's no Fiji.
This is more of a Gala.
It is more like... I was thinking Honeycrisp as well.
Yeah.
Because just the crisp at the end, sweetness up front of just the title of it, goes with this beer. Now, I get why they called it cider donut, though, and not just brown sugar cider.
Right.
Because that is way more appealing. And... it is reminiscent of a cider donut, except you're getting your flavors kind of flip. You know, you don't get any breadiness, of course, because there's no fucking malt there or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it's a really good beer. You have anything else to add?
I don't. I'd buy it. Try.
Steven has nothing of quality to add. You heard it here first.
Nothing. I ran out earlier on.
All right. Well, let's chug this down and get another beer.
10-4.
All right. Last beer of the evening. Lay of the Land. By Weather Ground Brewery, but not just Weather Ground.
Nope.
This is the collaboration, in my opinion, for our area we live in, to beat all collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
This is a collaboration between Weather Ground out of Cool Ridge, West Virginia, Beckley, and Fonta Flora Brewery, which might be one of the coolest, most unique breweries you can find out of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where in North Carolina, even though I've been there 3 times. It's not that far down there, though. It's between here and Asheville. But this is a farmhouse sour ale. And it says, this rustic ale was brewed in collaboration with Fauna Flora Brewery. We utilized regional barley, rye, and buckwheat, all malted in North Carolina. I got stuck. I'm sorry. The label's a little goofy on their word in here. And topped off with West Virginia maple syrup from Moonstruck Maple. After primary fermentation, the beer was moved to oak barrels that previously held apple cider from Hock Knob Cidery and Meadery. After some time, West Virginia peaches were added for a long second fermentation. Fast forward to over a year from the brew day, this farmhouse ale was bottle conditioned with more maple syrup for a third fermentation inside the bottle. Fuck me.
Yeah, well, I got to reading it, and I'm like, that's a lot of effort in a beer.
Well, I didn't even read that before we poured it. So that's the first time I knew what all was in it. You just told me it was a collaboration between Weathered Ground and Fauna Flora, and I'm like, fucking right.
That's all you needed to know right there.
So I am very excited. I have you smelled it yet?
Well, I have, but I need two again, but I'm going to wait until you do.
All right, well, I'm going to talk about color real quick. Now, this is hazy. I mean, triple fermented, barrel-aged, sour. What are you expecting? I mean, this is turbid as shit. There's all kinds of sediment in there. There's some yeast floating in the bottom. It's beautiful.
And I got to say on the nose, I don't get the oak barrel. I'm not even sure I get the maple syrup. I get the fruit.
I get the peaches. I might get a little bit of oak. I mean, it might be the cider that the oak was aged in the oak. I could see that. But I don't get a lot of oak. I think you're right. Now, the head on this, though, I wanted to talk about that because you might have just poured it really well for once. I'm not sure. But this has a thick, pillowy white head. The bubbles are all little itty-bitty concentric circles, so you know it's carbonated well, even though it had to carbon and ferment in the bottle again. Gorgeous. So you went in for a sip. What do we have?
I think there is a lot going on. And I think it's kind of hard to digest it all right this second. Because first, the first drink, I got a lot of the fruit. The peaches. I got a little bit of lemon. But the second drink, I started to get a lot more of that cider and oak. And I'm working towards the maple, if that makes any sense. It just, there's a lot that you need to compute in that one.
I get a tiny bit of the maple. There isn't a lot there, maple-wise. I think it's just stuck in the middle right now, and maybe as it warms up a little bit, that'll change. But I get a lot of fruit, and I do get oak. Yeah. And it was the smell I was thinking. Those two are going together as a taste. So the oak is coming through, and it's really mellowed in. I really like how this is flavored, but you're right, it's complex. And right now, I feel like it's cold enough that it needs to separate out a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
That those flavors are overlapping. But I've taken a little bit away just to let it sit, and I can taste more maple on the back of my tongue right now.
Right.
It's a good fucking beer.
It is good beer.
Weathered Ground's just a cool place anyway.
It is a cool place. I went for the first time yesterday, and it was like a big old barn, and very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Good tap list, nice IPA.
Oh, yeah. Did you get the breakfast out?
They didn't have that.
Oh, shit. That Struggle Street breakfast out will light you up. It's so good.
I had the Haggard IPA. I had a citrus IPA. I had a double IPA. Some IPA with just West Virginia hops.
Yeah. Did you get any of the Saisons? They have any of those? Probably that season.
Nope.
Their Saison game is strong. I mean, I know we're drinking a farmhouse now, but I mean, they have some good Saisons there. They have a Imperial IPA called More Haggard Than Haggard.
I saw that on there.
That's very good. I really enjoyed it too, but yeah, I'm really impressed with that brewery. From the day I went, they'd only been open I think a weekend by that point. I was really impressed, and every time I go back or drink something else by them, I mean it just blows me away how great this fucking brewery is.
It's worth the drive from my house, which is about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
To this brewery, there's nothing else around it.
No, if you like to ski in the wintertime, it's near a ski resort.
But beer and skiing usually...
Post-skiing.
Yeah, post.
A lot of people go there to watch the football games. I remember, yes. I went and the WVU was playing and the place was packed.
Yeah, that's what they were doing when I was there. But I was looking at the artwork.
Yes.
They had some interesting artwork.
Their growlers are gorgeous, the custom ones that they had. Yes, but
they're like $40.
Oh, yeah. We've bought a couple things from there, but never any of that. But I do... really like it. Their logo is really cool. There's a big story behind their logo. It's based off a painting from one of their moms. And it's just a really cool place. I would highly recommend it. If you're going into West Virginia from Virginia down here in the South, hit Sophisticated Hound in Princeton, head on up to towards Beckley to Coolridge, get you some beer at Weathered Ground, and get something to take home, because if you don't, you're going to wish you had.
And that's what I did. I took home a couple bottles, including this one. I mean, it's too good not to bring something with you.
Absolutely.
It was one of those things, like I got a taste, you know, a flight, mm-hmm. and I could just look at the color. You know how you could just look at the color and be like, oh, this could be good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what this was.
Yeah, the clarity, the color, the carbonation, their game's on point. Their brewers know what they're doing. I can't say enough good things about them. It makes me not want to make West Virginia jokes. while we're drinking this beer. As soon as we're done, I'll start talking shit again.
Right. Definitely, definitely best brewery in West Virginia. Hands down, best brewery.
I agree. Now, I haven't been to every single brewery, but I've been to a lot of beer fests where most of them are there.
I think I've had one from about every brewery, but there's not many breweries in West Virginia.
No, it's still a budding area for that. They haven't really blossomed yet.
No.
I think they will. I think it'll become more.
Are you sure? Because are the West Virginian people capable of loving something as quality as craft beer?
I don't know. Just
Busch Light.
If you make a beer called Take Me Home Country Roads...
Oh, my God.
They will line up
that to fucking... That is like their national anthem.
Yeah, they will burn a couch to get to that
so
fucking beer.
I get so tired of hearing about that damn song. Like, that is all they have to cling to that is positive in that fucking state.
All right, here's how we're going to rank this then. What John Denver song would you compare this
to? I don't know John Denver song.
I only know fucking two. This is Thank God I'm a Country Boy. For the pure farmhouse ale point of it.
You done lost me at the rankings.
So apparently Take Me Home Country Roads is your ranking.
I would do that for the beer and the brewery.
I agree. I mean, it is the best beer drinking experience I've had in West Virginia.
Yes.
And there are some good places. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I'm not trying to talk shit. We used to load up and go to West Virginia because their Kroger had way better beer than ours.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, they still probably do. I just don't live as close as I used to.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking necessarily that kind of shit. I'm just saying this place is the tops.
It is.
So, apparently we can't use John Denver songs for our ranking system. We'll keep trying.
Yes.
But do you have anything else you want to add here?
No, I just go. I just go to this place, go to yes. Fauna Flora. It needs to be on your list.
I'm going to actually go in for another sip because I want to see how this thing warmed up.
Well, I tell you one thing that's interesting about this place. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. I know it's right outside of Beckley, but it's kind of like on a rural road somewhere off the interstate. Mm. It looked like a farm. I passed by it the first time and didn't even know I passed by a brewery.
Huh.
Just from the way
that... Well, and the sign, it does look like you're going into a ranch or something. Yeah,
going into a beer ranch.
I agree with
that. Where the hops roam free.
you could you know, sing them an old trail song and they'll rally around you.
Yes.
I tried it a little more as it warmed up, and I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, that's good.
I still don't get a lot of the maple syrup. I think it's at the very, very end. Like, as you're swallowing, it's on the back of your tongue. Where you're like, oh, there's the maple. But I think that's only because I'm looking for it so hard.
That's true. To me, there's not much there.
If there was a knock on the beer, I think that would be it.
Right.
But that is a minor thing. Because if the maple was a lot more pronounced, I don't think I'd like it as much.
True. It needs to be so. It overpowers the rest of it.
Yeah. All right. This was a great fucking episode. We had three really good beer this time.
We did.
So... I'm John.
I'm Steven.
And we're the Slugger Craft Beer Podcast. Hit us up. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We could really use your reviews on iTunes or just fucking listen to us. We don't really fucking care. Just do something. Hit us up at jk.rtcbrew@gmail.com or sluggerpodcast@gmail.com. Cheers.
Cheers.